There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 83 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Here we are having a discussion about universal laws and forces. We are all interested in the law of attraction and what Joshua teaches us, but why are we spending so much time absorbing this information? What do we hope to gain? What's the goal or objective we want to reach? It's sort of hard to define. When I first became interested in the law of attraction, I had just lost everything in the housing collapse in 2009. I was looking for a way to bounce back. I wanted to become financially successful again, and I thought, law of attraction would help me achieve that goal. Since starting with The Secret, and then getting really into Abraham, and then myself channeling Joshua, my goals have changed. I no longer seek financial wealth as the key to happiness. I see that the key to happiness is finding bliss. So I ask this question to everyone. Would you rather have $1 million in the bank or live a life of bliss? If you asked me a few years ago, I would have said I'd take the cash. I was firmly convinced that happiness was to be found by making the conditions easy and nice. Today, I understand more about the purpose of physical reality and why we're all here. I understand that the path to bliss is not in controlling the conditions, but in allowing the conditions to unfold as they will. Instead of making it happen on my own, I allow the universe to bring me whatever I need to live the life I desire. I now choose to live a life of bliss and to let the universe figure out how that is to be conducted. I have given up trying to coerce the conditions, most of the time, and especially the people in my life, into what I think is good. And so that's all about, before I was really into maintaining how I behaved in front of people, how the conditions were, making enough money so I lived this life I thought was a good life. And now I'm just doing what I want to do. I'm just doing what I enjoy in the moment. And it seems like so far everything's working out. So the goal of this would be the ability to give up the need to control anything and simply allow it to all come to you when the time is right. It's acknowledging that you can't really know how everything is supposed to work out. You can only have faith that it will work out. So in the end, the radical new approach to life of allowing is that reward. This week, Alette is figuring out that all she has been working for her whole life is not to work. And that really isn't aligned with what she truly wants. So we'll hear how Joshua talks about that. On the round table this week, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hello.
The podcast, we were all talking about how we've been on a little bit of a wobble this week, and it seems like
except Mark
had a little dip, but he recovered quickly, which was good. I was doing really good this week, and then I had a little dip yesterday, and I'm trying to resolve what that's all about and why it's come up. And I have this, I can feel this. I haven't felt this negative emotion cling to me for so long, because it's in this one area about being appreciated that I have this hard reoccurring theme with, it's always popping
keeps
up.
Showing up. So do you guys, I've also kind of been feeling when I get a revelation, when I get a realization, I got it, I also go into a wobble.
Oh, really?
Well,
that's resistance of the revelation.
Yes. And I was listening to Matt Kahn the other day, and he was saying something about how your body needs to catch up kind of thing. Your vibration goes up and you get it, but then your body needs to catch up. And so that's maybe why sometimes you feel a wobble after you figure it out.
Yeah, and that's why some people get sick. A lot of people, I remember, Abraham seminars, this happened all the time, is that people would get sick the day after. And it's because, they've gotten this, vibration's been raised and their body's trying to catch up with it.
And even when you come home from vacation and get sick,
Very
your vibration
true.
Was so high, your body's got to catch up.
Yeah.
And it's such a good way to look at it, because then it's not like, oh, what's wrong with me
kind
of thing. It's like, oh, I'm just catching up. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So that's, you know, you sort of get to this place now, though, where you've been doing this for so long. Now it's been 3.5 years for me, just Joshua. And then before that, Abraham is for a while, too. So it really, I guess I would say since 2010. So about 7 years of being really immersed in this. And so when you have these wobbles and you do this work, so my work is to figure out, which is, what's the fear about not being appreciated? I guess it's the fear of not being loved when you're like doing something and you think that, boy, you just gave so much of yourself to someone, and you know that their whole part of it is fear too. You know, that's so, you know, you can't really say that. Well, all you can say is, well, how you feel about yourself is a reflection of that whole thing, whatever the situation is. And so my inner self is looking at this from a completely higher perspective than I am, and realizing that, hey, it's just this fear that's going on, and it'll work itself out, and just stay the course and be fine, and you know that you're good, and you know that what you're doing is right, and you know, you don't have to worry. So
it's a tough one, though.
Especially when it's one of your core things.
So you dipped, and then how did you just work through your fears and get back?
I'm like even worse dipped now than I was yesterday when it happened.
So you're still in it.
I'm still in it right now, and I can like feel it right in my solar plexus.
Whatever your core thing is, like with appreciation or control or whatever it is, I'm finding it keeps showing up. It shows up in the most weird way, and you just keep peeling that onion, and it keeps showing up. And each time it gets a little easier, and it's a process.
It is definitely a lot more mild than it would have been, and I'm a lot more clear on it. I can see what's happening instead of feeling like I'm a victim. And I didn't react, too. I didn't try and control the situation.
Give yourself praise for that, Gary. Stop for a moment and say, hey, good job, you. You didn't react. You didn't fall into the hole. You recognized it. You noticed it. Now you're going to work through it.
I also noticed my urges and impulses that I received from this lower emotional state of being. Like, I just really want to say, forget it then. You know, just like really want to. But I know that that's not in the best interest of me or the other person.
But you're
just
noticing now instead of reacting.
Right.
You're noticing it instead of doing it.
Yeah. And I know that the impulses that I have and the impulses that the other person have are not beneficial to what we truly want.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's a big step.
And I also know that probably by tomorrow it'll be all over. It'll be fine. You know, one way or the other, it'll be fine. So that's another thing. It's like, is this quote that Kyla made from Joshua that said, you know, when you get to that red light, you know that that green light's going to come on at some point. It doesn't always stay red, right?
It blows my mind.
It feels so much worse because I'm like so used to feeling good, and then this happens, and it feels so intense. It feels like it's really wrong, and I feel this desire to control the situation, and I also blame myself for not getting back on track faster, you know, all these things that everyone talks about all the time.
Right. Well, you know, and thank you, Gary, for sharing that, because you know, you kind of, as a mere mortal, I kind of assume that, okay, you're getting all this information constantly flowing through you, and yet you're still, you, Gary, are still working through this just like the rest of us.
Right.
So that's, I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? I get appreciation. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm here to make you feel loved and seen.
Awesome. Cool. Come. All right, so let's go ahead and do our quote of the week.
Okay, let me pop that puppy back up here. All right, this is a cute picture too. Your true desire is to live life as an explorer and an adventurer.
Yeah, you don't want to play it safe, you know?
No.
This is all the stuff we're doing is exploring and adventuring, and we don't want to... That was a big realization for me is when we were on the cruise and we walked by that gigantic mega yacht and thinking about who's in there. It's like the people who are there are the people who want to control the conditions the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that never occurred to me before, because I always like thought, get that mega yacht. That would be great. But really, you'd be like looking at the cruise ship and how much fun that would be.
Right.
That, right? It exactly. can only be with average people. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just... That brings up an even deeper concept where, yes, you could own that yacht, but then you've got everything that comes with owning that yacht and all the worries, or you can just rent your yachts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you rent the cruise ship. Now you're going to rent a Club Med. Now you're going to, you know what I mean? You're not tied down by owning something.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you sort of think about what you've always wanted your whole life. So mm-hmm. for me, it was a house on the water, a boat, a bar in my house. I got all these things, right? I got a kegerator in my house and my bar. So there was beer flowing like crazy. So from that, I got fat and I got gout. My boat was a constant pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Expensive as hell. Yep. The house on the water was really a crappy house for the money compared to what else you could have gotten for it, you know. So all these things were like, you have to figure out, like, what is it that you really, really want? And like, mm-hmm. you know, you want to have this money in the bank so you feel secure, but are you really feeling secure? And all the bullshit that entails, and then the people you're hanging around who are really, we were in this clique of up-and-coming young entrepreneurial types.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great people and everything, but we were all focused in the same way on this money, 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 money. And our whole dogma of life was about making money and believing that we were superior because we could do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, not overtly superior, but you know, you tended to go running that pack. And
judgmental.
Very judgmental. Super judgmental. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was, at that point, was buying a house in North Carolina, you know. And so everyone was sort of like, whose house is better? Where's the best place to be? That sort of thing. Who's doing what with it at all? And we had, instead of buying a house in North Carolina, we bought a house half an hour away in another town here in Palm Beach County. So we were the only people with a vacation home that was half an hour away, which was really what we were into, was renovating houses. And this was a house built in the 20s. It was a fantastic thing. One of the best things we ever did. But it got robbed twice, you know, by the people who worked on the house, you know, came back and robbed it. And, you know, and when we didn't go down that weekend, it felt like a total waste of not going down. Mm. So you always have this draw of wanting, you know, wanting to be there, but can't
like
be there. Pressure.
Yeah.
Why are you wasting that? Same with the boat. It's sunny day and the boat's behind you. You have all this pressure to go out on the boat, even though you don't want to do that, you know.
Yes.
So you're trying to make these conditions so that they seem like what you would want, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even when we moved to Palm Beach, I mean, once we got to Palm Beach thinking, oh, we finally made it to Palm Beach and living on this most magical island in the world, it was completely boring to us. No one was there when we were there, you know. So so now it's like, okay, well, what do you really want then? Well, what you really want to do is do what you want to do in the moment, you know. Be totally passionately involved in something you love, or many things that you love if you're like Kyla.
Well, you know, Gary, like, you went through all of that, right? So that, which, and I know you know this, and Joshua talks about this all the time, but now it's just becoming clear hearing you talk about this. You went through all of that so that you can passionately do what you're doing now and like, and just talk about what you just did and convey that message to everyone out there.
Yeah.
In a way that you wouldn't have, you wouldn't have that drive and that passion if you didn't, and I know you know this, but if you didn't go through all that. So it's just kind of a cool full circle realization about what you're doing now.
It almost seems like it's inevitable that had to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That what I truly wanted, I was noticing all the times when this wasn't fulfilling. I remember staying at a really high end hotel and just having it be like no big deal. It wasn't any better. We weren't treated any better. It was just way more expensive. That's all the only difference it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we used to go to these really high-end restaurants. And like the Four Seasons. We went to the Four Seasons 3 times. It was like the worst crappy experience ever. And we just did that stupid thing again for someone's birthday. I think it was Lily. We went to this stupid high-end restaurant. And we're just sitting there with this stupid high-end food. It takes forever. It's...
Oh, and then you know, it's almost uncomfortable.
Fussy. It's uncomfortable.
They just walk around, like three or four people around you. They're serving you, and they're uptight. It's tense. It's uptight. It's like
it's quiet. You can't be boisterous. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm boisterous, but Lily has a problem with that.
Me too. So
restaurant.
You know, I need lots of space.
But anyway, So even though that having all of that though, and now coming to all this, I realize that if you could just focus on what you're passionate about, find your passion in the first place, focus on that, and then don't worry about all the other stuff, then, you know, and you have this different idea of what abundance really is, which is getting what you want or what you need when you need it, really. Being able to do what that thing gives you bliss. If you can do that thing that gives you bliss, or even that thing that you're in a way that you can...
Yeah.
Like Lette. Here's a Lette. She lives in Rotterdam. She was a secretary. She had the inspiration to learn these language courses and become a translator. So she gets promoted into a much more prestigious job and more high-paying job. And then her only goal, really, is to make enough money so she never had to work again. And she's always searching for these other things that she could be doing other than translating. And Joshua said to her from the very beginning that everything that you want in life is to be found in this position that you're in right now. It's not to be found outside of that, you know. And you can find your bliss in what you're doing right now instead of thinking that your bliss is found in something else, which is because where you are is where you are. You didn't just accidentally stumble across what you're in doing. The same thing is true with Wendy. Being in real estate is everything that you want to be found in real estate. Right? And it's this resistance to where you are that if you just give up that resistance and go with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm working on not letting go of the resistance and not doing it anybody's way but my way.
How
I want to do real estate. And right now, I am doing real estate by whatever comes to me.
Yeah.
I am not actively looking for anything. If it comes to me, it's for me. I'm going to take it as an opportunity to love and accept and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Good shit, Wendy.
Yeah.
That's something that's happened for me is that I'm finding it easier and easier to just be interested in sort of whatever's in front of me when I let go of the like pressure to be good at anything, you know, just sort of have fun with whatever shows up. Like I was at, I met this guy and he was talking about how he'd built a studio in his house. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I just used the one at the library. And I think I said to do these guided meditations, but then I gave him my card and the next day I got a text from him saying, what kind of music do you sing? I'm going to find you a beat. And I almost said, what? I don't sing. And I was like, look, yeah, I sing. And so I just said, find me a beat that feels good and I'll find something to go with it. And so that day I had these like, and he's like a hip hop guy, you know? And so I had these hip hop beats in my email and I was like, all right, I can do this. So in a day I just wrote a rap. Rap music, but I do like writing. And so it just sort of, I don't know, transferred. And so for the past couple days, I've been writing or like singing this rapping, like just walking throughout my life, like rapping this song about how love is the way that it's supposed to be. My fear ain't nothing but a ghost in me.
Wow, that's cool.
So you just went with the, you could have just said, no, I don't sing or I don't do, but you just kind of went with it and had fun with it and just took it. Is that
sure? Because thanks to Joshua, like one of the themes that they've been saying lately is like anything that comes to you is for you. I mean, it's all happening for you, nothing's happening to you, but like anything that comes to you is a gift, basically. Like there's something in it for you. So while I might not be, you know, the next like America's like best rapper or whatever, like I got to practice my writing skills. I'm like doing audio editing, like layering it with the music and just meeting people and making connections. And, you know, I could have just shut it down, but I don't know. I've gotten to make logos for this guy now. And so it's been all kinds of different things that are just adding to the skills that will contribute to whatever like my passions are. So
that's real cool.
So that's important to notice though, that when you get this thing that comes to you, you try and pigeonhole it and figure out, well, what's this for? And you go 50 steps ahead and say, well, I'm not going to be a rapper. So why would I even do this? Right. But you don't know who that guy knows and you don't know where it can lead, and you don't know all these other things that can happen, so you just have to go with it.
Yeah.
Be open to life.
Yeah.
You
know, it's almost like you're cultivating a little garden. You know, like somebody gives you like, hey, do you want this flower? And you're like, I'm growing vegetables.
Yeah.
But you're okay, I'll plant this flower. And then the next thing you know, like this flower protects plants or, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it needed to be in your garden. So when you were getting the beets, I totally saw this was part of your garden.
Yeah.
Good analogy.
Yeah, I like that too. And it could always, like, you know, it's not always obvious right at first why something shows up. So like you plant this flower and then maybe nothing happens. Then 2 years down the road, somebody stops and knocks on your door and is like, oh my God, these flowers are beautiful. And then they happen to know somebody or know something that you need to know, you know, like, I don't have any attachment. Well, in this area, but in some areas I still do, but like to the end result anymore. Like I've gotten better and better thanks to Joshua at like detaching my worth from the things that I do. So I was able to just like put it out there without feeling like I had to be good at it. So I've gotten like 2 days of just like joy out of this little thing.
Wow. Love it.
And that could be the only thing that it is, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Setting intention to have joy and then just that shows up.
Yeah.
So another concept that I want to share with you. So I'm, you know, I'm an avid researcher and I like to research a whole bunch of things. But my last question with Joshua was, we are forever change what, who and what we interact with.
Yeah.
So your vibration has been forever changed, Kyla, just by that interaction. Yeah. Even our interaction right now, we're forever changed. And like that was such an interesting concept for me that it almost like I don't have to be attached to the outcome because I'm already changed.
Yeah.
It like almost kind of freed me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I have a tough time letting go. That's my issue. Yeah. So it's nice to say, so my mom's a hoarder and I'm better than my family members. Don't get me wrong, but it's still like, you know, I still have my daughter's Barbie's house in my attic. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh, let it go. Who cares? Yeah.
You can't lose anything.
I can't lose anything. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Isabel, that was a really interesting question too. Answer and question. But it was talking about how, like, change is such a fundamental part of everything being physical or non-physical, just that you can't stay the same. You're changing billions of times a second. Joshua was talking about how that there's a code. That was the essence of Isabel's question, is that is there a code in everything? And there's a code in everything. Everything has its vibration. And then that vibration is the code of it. And if you know the vibration, then you are, if you're matched the vibration, then you've unlocked the code. And that was your question, right, Isabel? Was the code?
It was. And you're doing a really good job with it. Thank you.
Yeah. So that if you knew the vibration of something, you would also know its code signature for the location where it is and the time where it is too.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like if you had a film on digital on your computer, you could go to the timestamp of the frame and you would go right to that one frame, right?
Mm. I love that.
That's exactly it.
So the same thing is true.
Wait, I'm not.
Let me continue. So
yeah.
Everything, like I'm looking at my computer right now. So my computer is this 27-inch Mac. It is a vibration of an older Mac, we'll say. It's located in my house, and it's right on this date of June 24th, 2017, at this time, which is 11:34 a.m. So if I know that time thing, then I can be a match to this thing, right? Now, we don't know anything on our own. We can't say, I want to be a match to this, and then how to figure that out. You know, that's sort of something that goes on without us paying attention to it, sort of like our heart beating or our kidneys function. You know, it's all within the system. All we have to do is be in a state of allowing and then not resist what we want. So,
right. And they were giving an example, like somebody mentions your name in a conversation.
Yeah.
And you don't know this person. But then the universe, because your name was mentioned to this person, the universe, you'll probably meet this person.
Or that person has come to it within the vibrational vicinity of you.
Right.
So that
they've
sort of entered your universe just by hearing your name. Now, that may be the farthest they ever get. But once, if they're invited to a party and you're at the same party and you meet, now that person has raised their vibration to you and you, without knowing it, have been allowing a vibration to be, you know, the same as theirs so that you actually meet, so that you come into physical presence of them and whatever happens, happens. But you both are forever changed by that meeting, even if you just say hi to the person, nothing more than that, right? And you're also eternally linked to that person too. So there's way more.
But what's this code thing? What's the code?
The code is the vibration of anything. And if you know the code of it, then you've unlocked the key to it. Like imagine there's the idea for nuclear fusion, right? It's something that scientists are working on. It's an inexhaustible supply of clean energy, and one day they're going to get it, right? At some point. And there is this way of doing just this one idea, for instance. And there's every idea that's the potential of anything exists, and you have to reach the vibrational vicinity of that.
Right.
And as you get closer and closer and closer to it, you get closer to this idea, you raise your vibration more, the desire for it peaks, you know, more people are interested in it, more people understand more things about it, you get closer, and eventually you'll unlock it because you've reached a vibrational level equal to that. Everyone who's listening to this right now has somehow reached a vibration high enough to understand or even to be aware of Joshua, right?
Right.
If you weren't a vibrational match, then you couldn't possibly listen to this podcast. You couldn't possibly read a book. You're not 100% matched to all of it. There's things that we're talking about here that you just don't get now. Mm-hmm. But as you allow yourself, have a desire for more or have an interest for more, right? You pull at the threads of new ideas and you get more out of it. And that's like if you had ever read a book, any book the second time, you get new things out of the book because you're a different vibrational person as reading it, right? Especially if you read a Joshua book. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say real quick, and that happens no matter like how high a vibration you have. Because, I mean, there's still stuff that Joshua says that I'm not a match to.
Me too.
The first time I hear it, you know, we've been studying this for how long? Yeah. It's just funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you have a goal and then you're saying, so let's say my goal is to, I don't know, really master the law of attraction. So there's a code to get, to a certain point, but the codes there, it's almost like it's a tiny, tiny, tiny unit. And then it's the next code for the next and then the next. So then I can attract. So tomorrow I can get to unlock a certain code or attract a certain learning. Like maybe I can read something or I can gain an understanding. And then are you saying, but that's not the full part. So there's the next code and there's the next code.
Well, let's take a physical object. Like let's take your cell phone. Okay. Somehow you became a match to that cell phone. The cell phone is in your hand right now and it's vibrating the age of it, its age, how big it is, the you know, all the features that it has, all the, you know, essence of what it is, plus the time and date of where it is right now and the location. Now, if you move the cell phone to a new location, that vibration changes, right? You're still a match to it because it's still in your possession. And every moment that ticks by changes its vibration also. Mm-hmm. So somehow you are maintaining this vibrational connection with it because of your desire to have it in your life.
Properties of the phone. And then if I move the phone, the property can change and the time property changes.
Right.
Right.
So at some point, you will no longer be a match to this phone, right? Because you were a match to a phone that is relatively new, relatively sophisticated, modern.
Right.
And this thing will get old at one point, and you will no longer be matched to it. You'll be matched to a new phone. And that phone will become a match to somebody else, right? If you recycle it, for instance. Yeah.
But what's the practical law of attraction approach to this code thing?
The practical thing is that the desire for it is all you need. The desire signals the universe to say, this is what I want. And then you can do two things. You can go out and make it happen, or you can trust that by being in a good emotional state of being and being open to all the possibilities that the universe will, through a series of manifestation events or, you know, different things, will cause you to become a match to it. So something happened to you that caused you to become a match to Joshua. Do you know what that was? Did you go out and say, listen, I really have a goal to learn about a radical new approach to life from Joshua? Before you knew Joshua, you had no idea. Right.
I was ready for the extension. I was ready for the extension of Abraham. I was ready for the extension of law of attraction. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you just allowed yourself to be guided through inspiration, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't go out and say, I want the 10 top law of attraction things. Well, even if you did that, that'd still be inspiration, right?
Right.
Somehow you found Joshua because you were in an allowing enough state that you received the inspiration to do a Google search or something, or to talk to a friend maybe. Right? Was it a friend?
That's what happened.
Yeah. Talk to a friend, or a friend was inspired to tell you, which is rare in this circle because, you know, how many people do you know that you even want to talk about this to? Right? So the fact that you had someone that you were probably with Abraham in was able to find it and then led you to it. Same thing. And here you are now on a podcast that's listened to by 6 million people every week.
Yeah.
You couldn't have planned that out. It's impossible. So the idea that you should plan out your goals, you could only do it from such a limited perspective because you don't know what's out there because you're not a vibrational master yet. So that's what bliss is. Bliss is the state of allowing where you're just doing what you want to do in the moment. You're realizing that this inspiration you get is coming from non-physical, right? It's not physical. It's a thought. So it's a non-physical thing. It's coming from somewhere and it's guiding you towards what you want. It's never guiding you towards what you don't want. That's coming from a low emotional state of being, of depression, for instance. You might get this inspiration to fix the things. So it's pretty interesting how this works out. We're running a little slow here, so let's go straight into Alette's question.
Okay.
All right, Isabel, you want to read for Alette?
All right.
Let me set this up a little bit. Alette, again, lives in Rotterdam, and she's been working as a translator in a prestigious law firm where they have their own in-house translation department, and they translate documents from English into Dutch and Dutch into English.
Excellent. Dear Joshua, my whole life I've been working towards not having to work at all, and here you are telling me again that everything I want can be found in the work I do. Apparently, not working is not what I want. This means most of my life I've been out of sync with the intentions I set for myself before I came here. Why have I made things so difficult for myself? And what was I thinking when I set those intentions?
Well, here she is. You know, before you're born, you set these intentions, most of which are general. You want to, you know, enjoy love and passion and interest and have fun and have exciting moments and, you know, experience joy and expansion, all this stuff. And if you just go with the flow and allow things to follow, those things will come out, as well as you'll be able to discover some more specific intentions you set to explore more nuanced aspects of physical reality. Okay?
Right. Some people simply know what they want to do or become. I didn't. When I finished secondary school, I didn't want to go to college and opted to become a beautician because I liked the photo on a leaflet and because I thought it would provide me with the tools to look good myself. I had no idea what it all entailed, and even though I did pass the exams, I never worked as a beautician. And then I got an office job, and that's where my quest started to work as little as possible, and preferably not at all. The one condition I had was that I wanted to have enough money so I would be safe, could buy and do nice and fun things. Of course, this is all based in irrational fear. I now feel that things are slowly, very slowly, starting to change. I'm getting more confident in my translations, and I'm enjoying preparing the translator internet page, something I would have not have taken on last year. Unfortunately, the text didn't write itself yet, but at least I can keep myself from constantly worrying about what others will think of it.
So let me jump in here. So she had this something given to her to write this page on their website, sort of a guide to how the translators work and that sort of thing, and what key phrases you should look for and stuff like that for the people who need her services in the office. So it's an intranet page, okay?
Nice. I've never been one who is eager to take on something new, simply because the first thought that enters my mind is, I can't do that, or I'm not good at it. I've always wanted things to stay the same, even though I was always on the lookout for other professions or thought that a lottery win would make my life so much easier. Another idea has come to me, one involving my internet community. I've discussed it with two people and they think it's a great idea. So now I'm eager to start working out the details. So much so that this morning I was unable to quiet my mind during meditations as thoughts and ideas kept coming. I felt that the meditation had sort of failed, but then again, thinking about the idea had made me feel so good and energetic that I think it was all deliberate. We had some translation work to do today, so I didn't have much opportunity to work on it, but there is no rush. With love, Alette.
Okay, so let's read what Joshua has to say.
Here we go. Dear Alette, isn't it interesting that the moment you start letting go of control and resistance and instead start looking forward to the unfolding of life, you instantly receive an inspired idea? Isn't it fun to feel the excitement that comes with inspiration? If you could live your entire life receiving inspiration and then being excited by the ideas, wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live? The feeling of excitement is a good feeling. This is because how you are looking at the idea and the potential for the idea is perfectly aligned with how your inner self sees the idea. You are living in alignment, and isn't that the best way to live?
All right. Well, just in that paragraph right there, we sort of see how this is the new approach to life compared to the old approach. So if you think about it, would you rather be struggling and working and hoping for retirement one day where then you can do, you know, you can lay around the house or you go fishing or whatever it is. You don't have to work anymore. Or would you like to be, you know, looking forward to things and guided by things and receiving this inspiration and doing what you're passionate about and, you know, without worrying about the money part of it, you know, or having the things part of it, or all these things that you think are going to make you happy that can't make you happy. The only thing you can make happy really is this way of living, is this being excited by ideas and doing what you want to do and finding and figuring out a way how to make what you're doing now interesting and exciting, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, she's right. Like, she still doesn't want to work. She's still working not to work, but work is kind of a, it's the old way of thinking of work where you're doing something you don't like to do for money.
Right.
Right. But, sure.
So the whole idea was with Alette and Joshua from the very beginning is to figure out a way where Alette can be totally passionate about this job that she found herself in that she's been doing for so long, right? It's not about leaving this job and finding something you're passionate about. It's finding a way to be passionate. And so the first thing that came up for Alette was that she was very insecure about the quality of her translations. And so Joshua started by explaining that she is worthy of this, that this wasn't an accident she found this, that she has a colleague who is very confident in his translations, right? And that she would always bring her stuff to the colleague and have him check everything. And then, of course, he would always point out mistakes or whatever, ways he would do it differently, right? And this made her feel even less confident. And so Joshua said, don't ever show him anything ever again and go out and teach English to people or Dutch to people, right? Be teacher of this so that you have more confidence. So here you are, you can say, not only am I working in this law firm, but I'm also a teacher of languages. And so Joshua said, you know, you need to go and get paid to do it because that'll boost your confidence even more. And she was too afraid of doing that because when she looked at the, you know, there's a website in Rotterdam about people offering translation services or teaching language services. And she looked at all the qualifications of these people and thought that by comparison, she wasn't as good. And Josh was like, you work for one of the most prestigious law firms as a professional translator for how many years it was. You know, nobody has the experience that you have, you know. But it's interesting to see how Alette couldn't be comfortable being paid because that fear level was too high. It's like going straight to the biggest roller coaster in the amusement park.
Yeah.
And so what she did was she volunteered and then she found this perfect situation and it worked out perfectly for her. So she took that little bit easier step. And then, so now Joshua's also told her that when you translate, you're not doing the translating. You've got your millions who are helping you do the translation, right? And so once you get confident in doing it and once you allow them, Joshua said that you're doing exactly what Gary's doing, is that you are channeling this information, but you think it's you doing it, so you're more critical of it, where Gary doesn't think he's doing it, so he's less critical of it, and it flows a lot easier for Gary. And once Alette gets to that point where she can just let it flow, that's why she was talking about it doesn't write itself yet. Well, it's going to come to that point, because every book, you know, everything you write, even everything you say, really, if you are in a high emotional state of being, everything you say, what I'm saying right now is channeled information, right? Yeah. It's coming, the thoughts are coming from non-physical. Who knows how I'm getting these thoughts? And then if I was in a bad, really bad mood, if I was really angry, I'd be stammering and stuttering the whole time. But because I'm passionate about what we're talking about here, and I really enjoyed talking to you guys and this program, and this is so much fun for me, I tap into that flow of energy. So even when I'm doing this or when I'm channeling Joshua and Joshua Live, it's the same idea.
Yes. And going back to that whole thing about her, you know, finding the passion in what she's doing, because Joshua has pounded on me now with this for months, is what I got. I can make it mean whatever I want to meet. So if I'm going to meet with a client, I don't have to say, oh, this is the client. Am I going to get this job? Am I not going to get this job?
Right.
I can say, okay, by me going to meet with this client means that, you know, I'm spreading joy to the world kind of thing. I can make it mean whatever I want. And so that takes that mundane of I'm going to work. No, I'm going to sit here and type at this computer. But while I'm typing at this computer, and my reality, what that means is everyone in my family will be happy and focus on that versus the mundane activity.
Right.
So that is seeing really it as, good.
Sorry. So we did a round table on, remember that work thing I had with the money, the Canadian dollars, blah, blah, blah. Right. So Wendy, I am similar. I'm experiencing the similar thing at work, but now when I go to work, I look at everything as for me, which we've said this, but when you really, really, really start to think of it like, oh my gosh, all these people showed up for work for me.
Right.
Right.
And every task or every question or every email is sent for me. And it's not a problem. It's actually it's a gift.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, people around me, they're like, gosh, Isabel, we thought you were calm before. But like, you're like really calm because like I just go into these meetings and I just look at everyone like you're all here for me.
Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
And every issue, like, you know, like they think it's an issue and I'm like, ha ha ha, it's not.
That's great.
Oh, you just think our software is not working. It's only bits of fields of data, everyone. It's okay. But, you know, I'm like so calm with it. And I'm like, you know, we can have whatever we want. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And I'm like, yeah. But it's true. So, like, I guess what we're trying to say in this roundtable discussion is everything is for you. And I know we say it over and over, but it's almost like learning math, like 2 + 2. Mm-hmm. You know the answer is 4, but then you finally get it. Like, oh, 4 little things add up to 4.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know.
True.
That's how it feels like.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Who you are is a limitless being.
Did we go to the other one?
Sorry. Yeah, nope, I missed that one. Okay. If you won the lottery, you think your life would be easier. This is simply not the case. The only reason you could ever see your life as difficult is by resisting what is. When you resist what's coming to you because you think you aren't good or can't handle it, then you simply create your own stress and hardship. Can you see now that all your perceived difficulties are completely false? They were simply based on your opinion of yourself as not good enough. Now that you can see that this perception was completely inaccurate, you can move forward, stepping into your authentic power.
Right. So the only reason that she would think that her life or her job was difficult was because she perceived herself as not being good enough at it, you know, and she worried about getting fired or getting reprimanded or whatever. And that never happened at all, ever. You know, and she also used to think that she had this impression of herself as not good enough, as the only person in the office. And Josh was like, no, everyone has that perception of themselves. You know, you're not the only one believing you're not good enough or worrying about getting fired or whatever it is, you know, worry about being reprimanded. Everyone has that.
Right.
Same thing. She thought she was the only one.
I experienced something similar in my job. Not with my job, I didn't feel like as a photographer, I didn't feel like I wasn't good enough, but I felt limited by it. I felt like controlled by it. And so as I talked with Josh about it more and more, I just started going in whenever I wanted, you know, finding ways to feel free within it, setting my schedule however I felt like setting it without regard to, you know, minor details here and there. And as soon as I started feeling more freedom and more freedom, that was when the door opened, sort of like once I stopped feeling limited by it, once I felt my freedom there, then another door opened and I was able to move sort of past that. But it wasn't until I found my freedom within that setting that I was able to move on to a setting where I felt even more freedom. So
Yeah, because you wanted to be on the round tables and sometimes you were working that day, but you just figured out a way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Who you are is a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Who you think you are is different than that. You perceive life based on who you think you are. You act in accordance with who you think you are. In the focus on the limited version of yourself, you create a reality that perfectly reflects who you believe yourself to be. If you knew that you were limitless and a being of love, your reality would reflect that. The more confidence that you have in your natural abilities, interests, talents, and unique traits, the more confidence you will have, and the more you will resonate with inspired ideas and thoughts.
Yeah, so it's all about realizing who you really are, and then thinking about yourself in those terms, rather than the limited terms of who your parents told you were, or how you think you will compare to other people, or all that stuff. Mm. So that your only limitations are self-created.
Self-imposed?
Self-imposed, yeah. Right. The only lack that you can experience is self-imposed. The only stress you can ever experience is self-imposed. So think about stress. You know, if you have a deadline to do something, if you were totally confident there'd be no problem, no issues, and that all the things you needed would come to you when you needed them, then that deadline could never be stressful. It's only when you perceive that you can't do it, or there'll be ramifications if you don't do it, that causes you to feel stress.
So with my favorite mantra for deadlines is for time in general is I have all the time in the world. And I used to be one of those chronically late people, and I still am here and there. But now that I repeat that whenever I start, like the second I start to feel stressed out about time, I just remind myself I have all the time in the world. And I keep just magically showing up like 15 minutes early to places when I feel, you know, when I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make it, but that's fine. You know, and then I'm like 15 minutes early and like I went through a time warp somehow. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's
good. All right. Let's see. Next one.
If you thought you could not do it, you would not be able to reach the vibrational vicinity of very many good ideas. You would have very little to be excited by. You would have nothing to look forward to. The fact that you receive this idea and are excited by it means that you have raised your idea about who you are. You have gained enough confidence and self-worth to be receptive to this new idea. If you thought you could do it, you would easily reach the vibrational level of the idea. This is an indication of how far you have come.
Right. So she's saying that she's changing slowly, and Joshua is saying you're actually the proof that you're changing so much so is that you received this inspiration and that you're excited about it. And you think now you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Where in the beginning of this, 74 questions earlier, she would not have received this idea because she would not have thought she could do it. Mm. So she'd never raised the vibration of the idea. In this case, it was to do something with this internet community that she's part of. So it's pretty interesting, you know. And so here she is still thinking she's moving slowly. And yes, our tendency is not to really understand how much we're changing. To think that we're still the same.
Yeah. Laurel said something about, I had asked something feeling like I wasn't, like I was stuck in place, you know, not moving. And they said, have you ever been on a train at night or like a really fast moving plane? You know, you look out the window and all you see is darkness or just a blur. But, you know, it feels like you're stationary, but actually you're moving at these really high speeds. And so that was an image that sort of that idea.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, let's go to the next one.
The more worthy you feel, the more ideas you'll receive. The more capable you believe yourself to be, the more fascinating thoughts will occur to you. The more authentic you are, the more powerful you will become. Your power is in being who you really are and accepting yourself as good, as perfect, as a worthy and limitless being of love. That is who you are. Can you see that it is only your opinion of self that creates the reality you experience? As you perceive yourself to be more, you raise your vibration and you become a match to ideas that resonate with someone who feels worthy of the idea. You are worthy of any idea and you can handle anything that comes to you. It is all for you. You are perfect as you are. You are self-contained. You can be no better than you are now.
When I started
paragraph right there.
Yeah. When I started getting into Abraham and all this stuff, it was because I wanted to improve, right? I wanted to get better at me.
Right.
The idea here is that you can't improve, that you're perfect as you are, right? So if you're perfect, you cannot improve. You just cannot get better than you are because you're perfect, which is weird thinking that, okay, well, if you go to school and you get a degree and you, you know, well, you're different, but you're not better. For instance, the day you're born, you're perfect. A day later, you're not more or less perfect than you were. When you learn to read, you're not more perfect than you were when you were born, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that you're changed and you're evolving into an expanded version of this perfection. Mm-hmm. And so that also means that you're self-contained, that everything that you need is within you now. Yeah. And in order to become a vibrational match to something that you want, all you're doing is expanding or changing or, you know, changing into that version of you, but it's not a better version of you. It's just a different version that happens to be a match with what you want, right?
Mm-hmm. And that mind frame allows you just to be perfect. Where you are is perfect, right? Where you are this very moment, you are perfectly fine. There's nowhere you need to be because you can't improve. Yeah, you can't.
So this idea comes up when in the Joshua book that, okay, well, once I lose the weight, I'll be attractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're perfect as you are with the weight. You have to understand that part of it. And that if you want to be attractive, then possibly one of the things that's going to happen is that you lose some weight. Or one of the things that's going to happen is you get your hair done, or whatever it is, or you've somehow become more interested in clothes, or whatever it is that means attractive to you. But by going out and trying to do something to lose weight so that you can be attractive, you're doing it on your own, and that is so much harder.
You know, it doesn't last.
For me, in this Joshua diet, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything other than be inspired to do what works for me. And it turns out that for me, what works is not eating breakfast anymore and also not eating sugar. So those two things really made a big difference for me. So now I'm not hungry. So I'm not always reaching for little snacks here and there. And it's working perfectly. But the fact of not eating breakfast allows me to most of the days not even eat lunch, just eat a normal dinner and cook something fun and not be hungry the whole day. And I feel great now. But that's just because it works for me. I never would have figured that out if I wasn't just going with the flow and then I was inspired to try different things. And this is what I tried. So let's go to the next one.
You cannot improve. Your entire life you have believed that if you were simply better, you could get what you wanted. Now we tell you that it is not possible to be better than you are. You are perfect as you are right now. Everyone is perfect as they are right now. No one will ever get better. It's just not possible to improve. You might expand, but you'll be no better, simply different. The only thing that ever changes is your opinion of who you are. You can believe yourself to be the limited and small version of you, or the full and authentic version of who you are, or anywhere in between. How you see yourself forms the basis of the life you will experience.
Okay, so I think that's probably the best paragraph ever, is that you don't change anything. You don't get better. The only thing that changes is your idea of yourself, is your perception of who you are, right? And if you perceive yourself as more worthy than you did last week, well, then you've just raised your vibration and you are experiencing a new reality because your perception of yourself and your belief in yourself is different than it was last week. And therefore, this reality has to shape based on how you believe yourself right now. So when you go and get a master's degree, well, you have a different impression of yourself than when you were in third grade, right?
Right.
You're not a more perfect person. You just think of yourself differently. You think of yourself, well, I have this education, and to me that means something, right? So that's all education is doing, is allowing you to feel better about who you are. You're not really learning anything. Yeah. You're just maybe involved in something you like, and you're starting to gain confidence, right? And then now you're comparing yourself to others without a degree. So maybe that gives you a reason to feel better about yourself. You know, I did that my whole life, is I can't remember one thing from college, yet I have this degree that says that I made it through it. And to me, the making it through it meant something, but it's just, you know, I could have had anything mean something. I didn't have to have that 5-year experience. Yeah. All right.
And, you know, it's not the, you know, I know we've got to go, but it's not the thing. It's not what you're doing, or it's not the yacht or the, you know, getting a degree. It's the intention behind it. So two people can be doing the same thing. And one person's doing it for a reason maybe that's not aligned with themselves. And one person can be doing it that is aligned with themselves.
Totally. Yeah. Like if you're really into rocket science, then you'd be totally into going to MIT and the whole experience would be unbelievable.
Exactly.
Right? And for me, I was only interested in making money. And so the whole time it was a struggle because I had a business. I was, you know, I had fun too, but mostly it was a struggle. And I was going, you know, having to pay my way through and be a waiter and working 60 hours a week. And then eventually it all blew up right in the middle of it. You know, I almost died. A whole bunch of stuff happened. Okay.
And you kept pushing through.
And when I finished, when I graduated,
you, don't go slow, you will die.
That's right.
When I graduated too, I sat there going, "Well, now what the hell do I do?" I had no idea after those 5 years at all.
Because your identity, you kind of gave in. You know, you were reaching for something and your identity was based on that. And then when you let that go, oh, shit, like, what do I do now? Well, you know,
All right, let's go to the next one.
This means that you can start right now. you can believe that you are worthy of everything the world has to offer. When we say everything, we mean every single thing. You can be, have, and do anything you want in this reality. How you choose to see yourself has everything to do with how you experience life. The only difference between who you are being and the authentic version of you is how you perceive yourself. You have a choice. You can perceive yourself as weak, inadequate, and unworthy, or you can see yourself as powerful, capable, confident, and worthy of anything you desire. How do you see yourself now? How will you choose to see yourself tomorrow?
So Everyone's at the same point. Everyone can start right now. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, of course, how do you see yourself better than you think you are? That's the trick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I like seeing that powerful, capable, and confident in front of limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Very, very true. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Are you making progress slowly? Is that the most empowering way to view yourself? Have you really made such a slow progress from where you were just a few weeks ago to where you are now? Or would you say you've made astounding progress? We would say the progress we see in you is nothing short of amazing. From your perspective, which has been so elevated over the last few weeks, you may not be able to understand how far you've come. We see your vibration now, and we know what your vibration was when we first met. The vibrational ascension that you have made is nothing short of amazing. It is quite brilliant indeed.
So there again, too, you know, when you make this ascension and you raise your vibration and you come to this new spot, from this level, you look back on yourself and you can see certain things, but then, like how I felt today, you know, the same themes coming up. And I was like, have I really changed that much at all? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been having those same thoughts, Gary.
Yeah.
It's like, well, shit, when is this going to like finally sink in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what is the point of all this work that we're doing, of all this stuff we're doing? One, really the point is it's fun and interesting. And we get to, now look at what we've created together. We've got, you know, just since started doing this, there's 4 books, a fifth one halfway done. We've got, you know, Law of Attraction Cruise, the Joshua Cruise. We've gotten together. We've got 2 podcasts going. We've got, you know,
Facebook pages.
All this interaction. This community is building. Yeah. It's growing and growing and growing. And website and all kinds of different stuff going on. And so, you know, that's 3.5 years. It's not a long time. We are like...
And now, look at all the offshoots you've created too, Gary.
Yeah.
I mean, from all this, all the offshoots that are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at your garden.
Yeah. That's so it's you can choose how you look at things, right? You can say, oh, nothing's really changing, or my God, this is totally different. Like, look at the people who are in our lives now, who are really some of the most important people that I know.
Yeah.
And this has just been the last year, for instance, you know. And we can't even imagine what's ahead of us in another 3 years. And plus, this is so much fun, too. And this time we'll never be here again.
Yeah.
We get to have.
No.
Yeah. So I think we got to, you know, it's all where you put your perspective and see, you know, congratulate yourself for how far you have come.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is nice to see the validation from Joshua. You know, it's sort of like, when you're like dieting or you've dieted or whatever and you run into a friend, they're like, oh my gosh, you look great. How much weight have you lost? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that paragraph was sort of like, oh my gosh, Alette, look how far you've come.
Right.
And it's funny how I think that all of us, especially me, you know, being with Alette all this time and seeing, you know, I can see it. It's to me, it's amazing. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't want to brag or don't want, you know, want to be a little self-effacing. You know, they don't want to really put it out there.
Want to be modest.
Modest, right. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. I, going along with what you were saying, Gary, like, Alette hasn't been on the Joshua Live calls the past couple of weeks, but when I read this letter, I noticed a difference in the tone of the letter compared to, like, her. She used to be a lot more tentative, sort of, and unsure when she was on the calls and asking questions and even just sort of in the conversation. And this, it just sounded so much more confident and excited and sort of, powerful. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's go to the last paragraph.
You can see yourself in any way you like. No one else matters. They can never see the true and authentic version of you. Only you can see that. You have fears. This is true. However, those fears need not limit you. As you see yourself in a more empowering way, your fears will fade. The fear you feel now is only a match to how you feel about yourself now. As you understand your value and your own worthiness, those little fears will fall away. Of course, new fears will arise, but you will deal with them and process them so that they have little ability to limit your experience of life. Fears are simply limiting. They cannot stop you from experiencing whatever you want to experience. They have absolutely no power over you other than the power you give them by focusing on them. Analyze them, process them, and push through them. You are more magnificent than you can imagine. You can receive more and more inspiring ideas, and you can live in excitement as the ideas unfold into your manifested reality. This is the life you want. This is a life of bliss. This is a life of feeling worthy. This is a life of receiving everything you want. This is the new approach to life. Welcome. You have made it at last. With our love, we are Joshua.
So that's the whole...
Wow.
That's the, that is the prize is here,
yeah,
is to live a life feeling worthy. If you could just do that, you know, if you could just do that one thing, feeling that you're worthy to be here, that you're as good as anyone else, that you're, then what else is there? It's not being rich, because being rich probably just proves... Yeah. It makes you think you're proving to your others that you are worthy, and no one ever thinks that anyway. Yeah,
it's probably my favorite Joshua answer ever. Mm. Like I'm gonna keep looking at this one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it close.
Yeah, thanks a lot for letting us use it. It was really brave of you and nice of you, and it's gonna help a lot of people. So it was a good one. Good show, you guys. Even though we're all going through a little wobble, except for Mark.
Well, I'm remaining steady lately. Yeah. So, and this is, but this is exactly what I needed to hear. Like, this is keeping me steady. These messages, you know?
Yeah. So this manifestation event that I had is for me to let go of my attachment to any outcome, just because I'm doing things that I think are, you know, helping people.
Right.
You know, it's like,
don't
worry about it. That just do what you want to do, which is all I want to do anyway. I would have, you know, I just love doing what I was doing. So, but yeah. So it's like everything that comes to you is for you, and this is part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And it's a process.
And I'll be better for you. Ease
up on ourselves. Ease up on ourselves. We're so freaking hard on ourselves.
So hard on ourselves. Totally.
Well, take a moment. Astrid is always good at pointing this out to me. Take a moment to congratulate yourself and to honor yourself.
Yes.
Say, good job. You did that. You got through that, or you handled that so much better than you would have. And just the little things that pop up.
Yep.
The more you appreciate those, guess what? The more you get.
Yep. Yeah. All right, everyone. This was another wonderful show. Thank you for joining us. We will be back again on Monday with Joshua Live. Until then, have a wonderful week, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.